So, Kat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's happening.
We're here. So, as I said, I was speaking with a sexual expert, and I was telling her that a good way to tell what's going on is comedians. I love comedians.
Thank you.
Love. And female comedians are on top of it.
Hell yeah.
And when you hear female comedians talk about certain things like faking orgasms and oral sex, you know that this is something you should talk about. Like, why are people faking orgasms?
Oh.
So, like, what's your take on it?
They gotta stop. No more faking. There's so much good sex to be had. Don't hold yourself back. Yeah, I'm obsessed with talking about sex on stage. I think it's so fascinating. I grew up, my dad's Jewish, my mom is very Catholic, so we were kind of raised in these Christian schools where it was like having sex is the worst thing you could do. It's
right.
Like straight to hell. So obviously all I wanted to talk about was sex my whole life. Now I'm like, can't shut up about it. Yeah, but I think it's so freeing. And also when you're in the audience, you feel so seen because you're like, oh my God, yeah, I had that weird fluid too. You know, mm-hmm. Just bodies are insane.
No, it's really, best thing is to hear a lot of people laughing about something you've said that maybe is about sex, but I really think there's a superior intelligence is needed to be a good comedian.
I'll take it.
I'm giving it to you. I really believe it, because think about all the comedians you know.
Yeah.
You have to really be thoughtful and deep to create a comedic version of a very maybe poignant part of our lives, right? So I think, what's your process? Like, how do you come up with it?
Yeah, I talk about this with my friends a lot, where like something embarrassing will be funny once the shame wears off. It's like you need some distance from it. Sometimes you go on stage with no distance from it and just see what happens. But usually with a little distance, you can make anything funny. Yeah.
I can tell you're experimenting when I like see how you just sometimes throw shit out there. And it's like, you're like, okay, maybe that didn't work, but this will get you.
That's the fun part.
But I think getting that response from people, I'm so jealous, because I think laughing is the best
thing. It's everything. It's like the only thing we have.
Now, how did you know you were funny?
I don't know. I think when you're growing up and you just don't fit in, being funny becomes a superpower. I'm like, okay, boys don't like me, but if I make a joke, they keep wanting to hang out with me. So it's this external validation that feeds this like monster. I'm like, if I can become funny, if I can become smart and accomplished, then it won't matter that I'm not traditionally attractive or whatever.
Right.
And now we're sort of unpacking that years later in therapy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's coming to good use.
Definitely.
I was having a conversation with an incredible person who works as these gorgeous women who have disabilities. And they're very into fashion, and they say that fashion is what gave them the ability to express themselves and be looked at not as somebody with a disability, but somebody who's so gorgeous and dressed so great because they put a great style together. And as they were saying that, I was thinking, I remember growing up in an Irish Catholic neighborhood, looking like this with my nose that was bigger than my face, and theirs were these little turned up with little blonde and red hair. And I'm thinking, how ugly can a human being be?
I know.
And this is what my curse is, that I have to look like this. My nose won't turn up. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to come up with the best outfits. I'm going to use fashion. And I realized I'm doing the same thing they are, and you're using comedy and fashion.
I was going to say, you know that's important. When I have my Norma Kamali sleeve.
Yes, you do.
I am obsessed.
And I love that you let everybody know that we have a bodysuit inside yes. of that, which is a very important design feature.
It is. Well, it's the perfect outfit to perform in. I'm like, I want to look sexy. I want to feel like I'm showing off my body without flashing the audience.
Right.
I want to look over the top and glamorous, but still have to like move around.
Right.
So I'd been a fan of your stuff for so long. When I came across like the LeMay dresses with the sleeve, I was like, I need these in every color. And people are going wild for them. People are going wild.
Well, I mean, you work it.
Thank you.
You work it really
well.
It's
important to me to look really good on stage. It's another kind of armor. It's like, I'm hot. Don't mess with me.
I think the visual is so important. Mm-hmm. And it's also part of the, you know, captivating people, not just by what you're saying, but also the way you look. I remember I met Bette Midler a year after I was in business with my own shop, and she was at this dinky divey club, and we were sitting in the front, and we were all dressed from clothes from the shop, and she stops in the middle of it, like, where did you get these clothes? What is this? I need these clothes. And then she said, I'll work to get the clothes. She had no money. And I said, no, like, we'll do something with this. And that she really, like you, understood that she was going to make these clothes, her walk, her shoes, her hair,
yeah,
part of this character that she created. And I think your character is very different, but I think your character is like so charming. And
good, I hope so.
How do guys really relate to you? Not just as a comedian, but
how do guys?
Yeah.
Like, how do men? It's so funny. Sometimes they're captivated and sometimes they're terrified. I just posted a stand-up clip on TikTok and Instagram. TikTok, everyone was like, we love you, queen. Instagram, the incels came out. They're furious. They're furious that I'm on stage saying I'm attractive, saying I look beautiful. I'm wearing like a feathered gown. Like, they were so mad. Like, men get so mad when you're confident. They're terrified. So it's both.
I think on all levels, men fear women who don't need them.
Exactly.
But can choose the one they want to be with, not, do you know what I mean?
Yes, like, it's the Cher quote where
yeah,
she's like.
Yeah, totally. And my mother actually said the same to me. I remember I was 11 and my father bought her a washing machine for her birthday.
That's tough.
And so as we stood over the washing machine, she said, Norma, get a career where you can support yourself and you choose the man you want to be with. And I thought, what does that mean? And then I was like, later on, oh, I get this.
I know.
It was past 11. I had to grow up a bit
to totally
get it. But it's that independence that then gives you the ability to choose quality.
Yeah, it takes a special man to put up with this. And vice versa. Yeah.
No, it's totally true. So tell me, what did do your parents do? What's the influence?
I'm laughing because I'm picturing when I taped my special, it was my parents sitting next to my boyfriend in the audience while I'm talking about, can I say titty fucking?
No.
Can I say that?
No.
Yeah. And I'm like, how did I do this to everyone? Like, I put everyone in the worst. They're all supporting me, but I'm a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Yes, my parents are very supportive. They have no idea anything about this business, which, I mean, they're very smart, intelligent people, but they're like, the entertainment business is a whole other beast we don't understand. I'm like, same. It's crazy. But I'm from Houston, so they live there.
Ah.
And they're the best in the world. Yeah.
Oh, that's
I'm
so
lucky.
Great.
It's rare to have a comedian who doesn't have a messed up
totally.
Family situation,
yeah.
But I feel very lucky.
Yeah. And what does your father do? What does your mother do?
He now works in venture capital, and my mother works in energy. Yes, I'm like trying to remember what they do.
You know,
they're business people,
but it has an impact. I mean, it definitely does. The what you were hearing at the dinner table or conversations are really
definitely
so much. I think it just absorbs and. You somehow find a way to incorporate that in how you want to be or what you see in life.
Well, Well, they're both incredibly hardworking, and having a mom who works full time, she works very like crazy. Boring. So it's like, of course I'm going to work. And similar to what your mom said, my dad was always like, don't ever rely on anyone else. Never get married. Do your own thing. Like, they're very supportive in that way.
They love you.
And they help. They love me, and they help me with my taxes because I don't understand that
so
stuff.
So helpful.
You know what I mean? So that's where it comes in handy, that they're business people.
But you will be too. I mean, you've absorbed it. Yeah.
Yes.
And the best thing, obviously, is to have the power to be able to run your own business, which
exactly.
is you. So.
I know my dad's always like, you're an entrepreneur. You have to see yourself like that.
Absolutely.
And I'm like Googling entrepreneur. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
So what about films?
I love them.
But I just, all I could think of is somebody's going to snatch you up real fast.
Norma, I'm ready.
I think you are.
I've done some acting stuff, and I auditioned. I mean, now we're on strike, so it's been, you know, I feel like I started in New York doing stand-up. All of a sudden, I'm doing well. There's a pandemic. I'm doing well. There's a strike. I'm like, I'm ready, baby. Let's do this. But it'll happen.
No, I totally agree. I think you're fresh and unique. And
thank you.
It's time for lots of humor.
Yeah, please. I'm ready to laugh.
Yeah, we need humor. It's not a funny time, but if we don't have some relief, there's a lot of issues. I think that a lot of people your age through COVID and everything just like suffered greatly in your identities and mm-hmm. figuring out who you are at a time that's the only time that you have to do that. So
scary.
But that should be inspiration for you.
It is. I think also there were some things written during that time. But I also feel like as soon as we were allowed to go back, I was like in, you know, I do the show at Club Cumming every week, and it's like this tiny dive bar. And the second we were allowed to be back, it was packed to the brim. Yeah. Everyone making out, you know, getting messed up, having fun. I was like, oh, like, we're not going to let this stop us. We're going to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I, you know, I go there tomorrow night. So whenever I go there, I'm like, okay, we're still doing this. We're alive.
Where is it?
East 6th. An A. And yeah, it's just nice. I'm like, oh, look at us. Like, no one's on, you know, we're not on our phones. Mm-hmm. We're connecting in real life. It's heaven.
And what nights are you there?
Every Wednesday. You got to come check it out.
I'm going to.
I'll wear my Norma. I'll wear my look. I have the lime green. I love that one. I have pearl, gold.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
We have to branch out.
Oh, I think totally.
There's some branching that needs to get done. So when you're thinking about a topic, is this like sort of a autobiography? Is it what's the approach?
Yeah, I think my stuff at least is all like extremely personal. Some comics are so great at observing something and making it hilarious. I'm like self-centered, maybe. I'm just like, if something happens to me, I'm like, this, what's funny about this, you know? So lots of journaling.
And so you're like, as a kid, how did you manifest this?
I don't know.
As a child, what was the one thing, situation that you said, this is it, that's what I'm going to do?
Yeah, I love to sing. So when you like to sing, they put you in musical theater. And so I always wanted to be an actress. And then when I moved to New York, I was like, well, I don't want to sit around waiting for someone to cast me. Why would I stand out? Everyone's beautiful. Everyone's here. Everyone's talented. And I was like, I guess I have to write my own stuff. And I took like an improv class at the Upright Citizens Brigade and met some comedians. And I kind of saw, I was like, I think I could do that. But, and then here we are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's really, I mean, ultimately, I just see you in films. And
ready.
I absolutely, the characters that you could portray.
Oh, thank you.
So who are your inspirations, like, from comedic sort of history?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Bette Midler, major influence. Like, I grew up loving musicals, and then would watch SNL growing up, and you know, Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph, like Molly Shannon and Superstar, mm-hmm. all those women. I was like, this is unbelievable. And then growing up in the 90s, it was very like the Spice Girls, Britney. I wanted that like sexy pop element too. Mm-hmm. So it's all kind of mushed together.
Interesting. Interesting. What are your thoughts about women trying to live up to this kind of curse that they have to believe that at 30 they have to be married, they have to have found their soulmate and get ready to have children? Why is that still so important? What do you think?
Yeah, it's so crazy. I turned 30 during the pandemic, so all of a sudden I was like, whoa, wait, why is this all mad? Because for so long I was like, I'm never getting married, I'm sleeping with everyone, I'm young, wild, free. And then I was all of a sudden like, oh my God, it's happening. Well, first of all, I froze my eggs. That's that's one thing.
And you know
do.
What? Everybody should.
100%.
It's like good.
It was easy breezy, so that's kind of off the table for now. Getting married doesn't really, I think it sounds fun to have a party, but I'm like, what's the point? I have a boyfriend now who I love, but I'm like, I don't need us to spend our year planning a wedding. But one day, I mean, I love a look, I love a party, so why not? I feel lucky that my family and stuff doesn't make me feel like I have to do any of those things, but I know a lot of people feel like they definitely do, especially when they don't have work that they love. Mm. They're like, well, then I have to start focusing on the family. But everyone's different. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I find it fascinating that I've been doing this for 56 years. And so I've had a company with staff, 99% women. Mm-hmm. And we want more men. It's not like we don't. But it's sort of, it prevails. Like, I can always tell 28, 29. Oh, my God, they're sobby, they're anxious, they're nervous, they're cuckoo. They're doing all kinds of stuff that's unreasonable to try to be something they don't have to be. And so I was wondering what your perspective was, assuming you were in that age range.
Yeah.
And I think it still prevails.
I definitely still feel the pressure. Not that I want, no part of me wants a baby now, that sounds insane, but I'm like, well, what if in 10 years I really do and then I'm mad at my younger self for not doing it? I'm, you know, it's scary. Or then you're like, what if all this career stuff I've been working on like disappears and then I have nothing? It's like, I don't know.
Well, but it's life experience that you would never want to give up.
I know, but life experience is so exhausting.
Well, welcome to my world. I think I don't see you kind of giving in.
I'm not ready for that.
But you can't. What's in store for you is everything you can dream of. It is. I mean, that's really what life is about. So,
are you an everything happens for a reason person?
Very much.
Okay.
Very much.
I like that too.
I think, what else do you think is important? What's your purpose?
I just want to make people laugh and have fun and love people and travel the world. And yeah, that's what I get to do when I do this. It's the best thing ever. I was just telling a friend, it's nice with this work. I'm sure you feel the same way. It's like you're constantly meeting new people, exposed to new ideas. And I can't imagine a life where that isn't the case.
So I think you have plenty to do.
Yeah.
I mean, the adventure of what can be that you can't even imagine right now. Mm. Like, it may sound amazing to be in a film, but that it can actually really happen is right in front of you. So
totally.
How do you not, you know, and from that you may end up deciding to be a director instead. Or,
who
you
knows?
Know, the path takes you wherever, but I think your energy and your humor is so organic and authentic that
thank you.
It's right in this moment. So who
this
is your,
this is very surreal. I'm honored. Thank you.
And so who's your audience?
I always say my audience is girlies of any gender who want to have fun. So I mean, it's a lot of young women and gay men, but it's for everyone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I do it for everyone. Just people who, like, realize how insane and ridiculous life is and want to, like, laugh and have fun and not take things too seriously because there's so much we can't control.
And what do you think is the biggest issue, sort of personal issue that women in your age group have? What do you think, besides the whole conversation of...
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that breaks my heart, but it's so true, is just, like, we were raised thinking there's something wrong with our bodies and how we look. Like, just, you were talking about it. I remember thinking I was fat when I was 4 years old, which is just, like, insane. Like, what? And still, even now, like, so... Now I'm 32. It's, like, I still have the same thoughts every day that I have to, like, deal with. And so... All women, even my, you know, my friends who look, I think they look perfect or at least like they adhere to societal norms. They have things they want to change. And I'm like, this is it. We're wasting so much time. Yeah. I'm part of it too, though. Yeah. I mean, you know.
No, I think it's the dilemma. I was also talking to the doctor about this. The dilemma for women is self-esteem and never feeling like we're good enough. And,
yeah.
And the thing is, we try so hard for some ideal that I don't think we actually ever can achieve. And then we're competitive with each other on the stupidity of it all. And yeah. And it just takes us down completely. And one of the things that I hope that I'm learning, it's like taking a little bit of time, but I think the idea of being healthy, like eating properly and doing everything that's good for your body, working out, doing all of that, that's the ultimate pretty. That's the ultimate feeling good. That's the ultimate sort of power. And it doesn't have to look a certain way. There isn't this like zero body fat with you know all of that. It's caring about yourself in such a way that you wouldn't poison yourself, right? To really have that discipline. It's hard at your age, I know. but it's really, that's the kind of thing. That, well, your skin looks gorgeous, your eyes are gorgeous, what will happen is it will help keep that naturally so you don't have to do imitation things, so you go into the witness protection program. you can be authentically beautiful because you're doing good things for your body.
Totally. I think I'm lucky. My mom, like growing up, just never was interested in like makeup or clothes, really, which at the time I was like, this is so annoying. But now I'm like, wait, she just looks so amazing and like doesn't care about that stuff. It's so cool. But I do think clothes can help with the self-esteem thing. Like if I'm feeling bad, I can go to my closet, put on something amazing, and I'm like, you can't fuck with me.
Yeah. Now, fashion is a great hack.
Yeah.
I mean, I really didn't understand the power of fashion. Mm. For a long time, I thought, oh, my God, people are curing cancer, and I'm worried about that hem, that it's a quarter of an inch off. I'm like, what is wrong with me that, like, I'm so superficial? This is ridiculous. And then I started to... realize that people do feel different and tell me stories about how they feel and how something changed their evening or something happened because of the way they looked. And I started to recognize that there was something to it. And I believe a great hack is, I mean, we can almost at least once in our lives as women have some guy that cheated on us and we find out, and it could be with your best friend, it could be somebody you don't know, but you want to just spit nails like you're so crazed. And of course you feel like it's you, you're ugly, you're this, you're that, you're what, everything horrible. And I say it's exactly the most important thing you have to do is the clothes that you felt somebody else could wear because they could wear that, you didn't, it wasn't you. You put on that Supergirl outfit that somebody else could wear, and you get your hair done in a different way, and you either put on makeup because you haven't, or you take off makeup because you have too much. You make some major shifts so that that identity that just got taken advantage of, that you allowed to do that, no longer exists, and now you've created this Supergirl.
Oh, totally.
And it's a fashion hack, right? It's a hack. You put on that suit, and now that outfit.
Oh, the best feeling.
Right? And so that's who you are when you get on stage.
Definitely. I remember in college, a boyfriend cheated on me, and I was going to our ready a cappella practice, and I remember telling my friend, I was like, straightened my hair flat. I put on these combat boots and I was like walking to rehearsal. I was like, he has another thing coming. I felt so good. I was like, what a loser.
But that's it. We have these tools. And incredible as it may sound, fashion and the way we present ourselves and the way we stand and the way we walk, all of that is so key for self-esteem. And so, yeah, I guess you can go to therapy and yeah, I guess you can like get high or whatever. But I mean, there's nothing better than being fully in charge and like doing a number and making sure that your whole head shifts into a much different place and not be the victim. Like, you can be the victim for about 10 seconds.
I agree.
Okay, enough, maybe a tear, not two tears, maybe a tear, and move on. And that's the beauty of having these tools.
Yes, I love it.
But do you think every woman gets cheated on at some point?
I think most people get cheated on. I don't know.
Do you think... women cheat on men as often as men cheat on women?
Probably not. I don't have the stats, but I don't know.
I would like to think yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't know. Cheating,
but I don't think so.
I do feel like I've been lucky. Like, I have come across so many amazing men in my life and been in relationships with men who are so good that I do have like hope.
Yeah.
But who knows?
I actually think your generation of men are really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like them.
There's some good ones.
I agree with you. They're not gummed up with sort of behavior issues with women. They're in a whole other place.
Yeah.
I mean, they have other issues, but they're not those sort of deep-seated misunderstanding of what male, female is about. They really have a love for women and respect that is so wonderful. It's really refreshing.
Totally. I agree.
And so where do you usually meet guys? How do you usually, are you introduced or what's the...
I'm trying to think. I mean, for a while I was like on the apps, which was fun, but the best things come from just friends. Or being at a party and being like, oh my God, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? And then you're like all of a sudden talking to them and you're like, ah, like that's the best.
Right.
I met my boyfriend because we had a mutual friend and our mutual friend said, I have one straight friend from theater camp. Do you want to meet him? And I was like, maybe. And then I was like, wait, okay, I'm obsessed. And then my brothers have both met girlfriends on Hinge. So who knows?
So what's your best story about a dating app encounter?
I'm trying to think. It's been a while. I when I think about it, I mostly just feel, I have like a memory of meeting someone on an app. You show up, they're acting completely different. They look completely different. And then you're like, I'm like, is 20 minutes too short? I'm like, I think I went on like a 23 minute date once. But I was like, you got to leave if it's not.
Yeah. No, you have to.
I think you should talk on the phone first because I think voice and how someone carries themselves is so different than a picture. Don't you think?
Yeah. Would you Zoom or do anything like that?
I would Zoom.
Yeah. I would think.
Why not?
For sure.
A little FaceTime?
You know, when we interview people for positions here, we do a pre-interview on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's an hour, 2 hours of conversation first before why take it any further if it's not working on Zoom.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you can tell a lot in Zoom. Of course, people show up and they're much taller or shorter than there's that other, I don't know.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
It's interesting now all my auditions are on Zoom.
You're kidding.
Zoom and self-tapes. Even like chemistry stuff is like you'll chemistry read with an actor and they'll be like, is there, you know, sparks flying on the Zoom? They do a pretty good job.
Really?
Yeah. But I miss going into the casting offices, so hopefully it'll return a bit.
So what do you think about that? What do you think about the strike? What's your kind of personal feeling about it?
I think it's really important. And I think we've been holding out for a good deal for a while and we'll keep doing that. So hopefully things will resolve themselves pretty soon. But yeah, it's a lot of insane issues and a lot of working actors who have to have other jobs. Like that's the majority of people that I know. So it would be nice if we could get paid to do what we love doing.
And are there any AI fears or thoughts about that in your
I think both. It's scary to think someone would own your likeness. That's terrifying for sure.
The interesting thing about AI is I think the possibilities of what can be are so extraordinary, especially when it comes to education and medicine and a lot of sort of life longevity kind of concepts. And then there's the, you know, the possibility of bad actors doing, and I don't mean actors, doing some really devious things. Do you have thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think you need people to make art. So hopefully that will always be the case.
Yeah, AI can't duplicate creative energy. It can't duplicate jokes.
Yeah, it really can't. Oh my God.
It can't originate. It can't originate the joke, but it can duplicate the joke.
Yeah, I've seen some things with AIs trying to make it. And I'm like, this is hell. It's just so cringe.
Well, it's copies of things make you cringe, right? The original is always
it's just something's so much, off.
Yeah.
Totally.
What's the best skit or routine that you've can remember that really sort of took you, like really?
Oh wow. I mean, it sounds funny, but earlier I was talking, when I saw Molly Shannon like in the Superstar movie, I was like, this is groundbreaking because she made being gross so funny, which I was always like ashamed of being a girl who's gross. Right. But I'm like, I try now in my act to embrace like the glamour of being so open and disgusting. So I just remember that movie being very formative for me and her. I mean, she's just a genius and I love everything she does.
How brave. I mean, she's totally brave.
So good. Like falling in the chair.
I know. Like, my God, help that girl. And then you think, what? That's so cool.
Yeah. And like her, that character, like embracing her sexuality. Like it was just so funny. So I feel like that was something that really like changed my my world.
And the funniest movie you ever saw?
Funniest movie I ever saw. Such a good question. I mean, Bridesmaids was pretty major, right?
Yeah.
I remember seeing it in theaters and just being like doubled over laughing, which is so rare.
So it was so good. And I was part of this campaign for stopping objectification of women. And I remember watching the movie.
Yeah.
And John Hamm is in bed with Kristen Wiig. And I'm like, oh my God, I think that happened to me. I think that happened to everybody. And so I would have these talks because I was doing all of these Stop Objectification talks. I even had a radio show on Stop Objectification of Women. This was a while back during when the movie was out. Mm-hmm. And I would say, did you see Bridesmaids? Did you see that scene? Did that ever happen to you? It was like, yeah. When, and everybody unanimously, including this 82-year-old woman who was in this thing, she'd strangely was it there, and it was mostly young women. Me too. And I was like, can you, it's part of that thing that we allow mm-hmm. ourselves to be objectified in the hopes that sooner or later he'll fall in love with me.
Right.
And sooner or later he'll turn around and be crazy. And it's like delusional. But that film had so many hot spots, right?
So good. Yeah, that's the best. I'm trying to think of others. Like when I was younger, I would just watch, like I remember watching Liar Liar with Jim Carrey. I would love like that really big, silly stuff.
Yeah.
But Bridesmaids was like seeing women be so funny. I was like, wait, this is changing my personality forever.
Yeah, no, definitely. The films that have these memorable kind of scenes and moments mm-hmm. are really special. And then what's the film that's the tearjerker of all time?
Ooh, I'm like so sensitive. I like try not to watch. I'm trying to think when's the last time I was really sobbing. I don't know. What's yours?
You know, there are a few.
Yeah.
But there's, I think, The Letter. You know,
I haven't seen
corny.
That.
It's the corniest, like, just corny. But it's just like you have to cry.
Yeah.
And then, even if you see it again, like I saw it. Half of it a second time because a friend was watching it and I was like, oh, all right, I'll go do this again. And I'm sobbing away again like it was the first time. And typically I see a movie once, I got it, I don't need to do it again.
I'm kind of like that too.
All right, done. But that one got me twice and I still sort of get a little leaky when I think about
it. I'll have to check it out if I'm feeling strong.
If you really want to cry.
I'm like, enough crying.
So for entertainment, I think we're in this really dark time, right?
Yeah.
It's dark and it's hard to understand. It's got lots of layers. Everybody has an opinion about everything. Social media goes crazy on everything and anything. And many times I wonder, am I wrong and everybody else is right? Or am I right and everybody, like, I don't understand. And then another topic will come and I think everybody is right. And, you know, so I can shift with the wind like everybody else.
I know.
But the darkness is just developing and developing and developing. And we need to find comedy or other things that bring joy. So in wellness and in longevity, singing, dancing, laughing
mm-hmm.
Are really good options.
Totally.
And meditation. So if you were to pick one of them, so you sing,
yes.
like you said, what kind of songs do you sing?
Well, I write like funny songs for my act, which I sing, which I love doing.
Yes.
But yeah, I recently was reading something about like how singing stimulates the vagus nerve. So it like automatically.
And the vibration.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, growing up, it would always be really so relaxing to just sing to myself in my room. My whole family's like, shut up. But I'm like, it's my medicine.
And so what kind of music do you like?
Ooh. I like everything. I mean, I love like a fun pop hit, but I also listen to a lot of like indie rock. What's your favorite?
I think of all time, probably Etta James.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because I knew her.
Wow. And
so I really, I used her songs in a fashion show, and the musical director said, "Do you realize every song you chose was Etta James, but they were from different periods?"
Wow.
And I didn't really know who she was. And then I thought, oh, I'm going to call her and invite her to my
Amazing.
Show. And I ended up, she couldn't come because she was in concert, but I ended up being really good friends. And wow. I always loved her music. And then I was just, you know, that's so, so deep and so fantastic.
Oh, so good.
And your favorite songs or...
I'm trying to think. I was just listening to the new Sufjan Stevens album. I've loved him for a really long time. It's so emotional and magical, and he builds these worlds, and you just feel like taken away, and I love him. Yeah. I'm trying to think who else. I love like Phoebe Bridgers and Boy Genius. I'm a big Swiftie, I will say. I went to the Eras tour.
Did you really?
Loved it.
So reporting back from the tour.
Yes.
What was your takeaway?
It was amazing. I mean, it's funny. I'm like almost the exact same age as her. So I feel like I grew up and I'm from Texas. So I listened to like her early country stuff. So for me, it was just very emotional. Like the different chapters of like growing up as a fan alongside an artist you admire, you know, was cool. And everyone was just like, I think for me, it was like watching these women, like everyone was so moved. I was like, this is, and some people, I was like, not everyone gets to express themselves like this all the time. So watching people like scream, sing along, I was like, this is like so, yeah, cathartic for them. Exactly.
And so what is it that, I mean, she and Beyonce are saving the economy, I think.
I know, truly.
And so what's your take on it? First of all, it's women, first time. What is she doing? What is she writing? What is she saying that is captivating you and has captivated you from you were a young teen, right?
Yeah, I think just she's an amazing lyricist. So she has a song for every... feeling. My friend Danielle texts back like, what, you know, what Taylor do you need right now, like which album? It's kind of like that. And Beyonce is just like an otherworldly talent. Yeah. It's like, how can one person do all those things? Yeah, so it's very inspiring.
And I actually think they're in some odd way, they actually are like the ultimate role models too. It's like they work hard. They are generous and they're thoughtful and their craft is so important to them. And obviously that comes through and affects so many people. And that these two human beings have pierced the hearts and souls of so many women. It's extraordinary.
It's amazing. And I think you also watch, they don't let other people take advantage of them and their success, which is so incredible. It's like, no, it's my business. It's my name. It's my everything. Yeah. Like that's sick.
the beauty of it, it's such a great talk about role models and examples of what success can be and that it's attainable. But it means you work your ass off and it doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
But look at how many lives are affected by what they do.
I know. I can't imagine my life without their music.
And any artists, actors or actor comedians through the years that you also looked at, you know, actors who are comedic but do serious roles.
I mean, Adam Sandler is kind of like the
amazing.
Best. The best ever.
Amazing, right?
Just amazing. Just, yeah. Icon. Yeah. I adore him so much. I'm trying to think of other people. throughout time. I love Jenny Slate. I loved her in that movie Obvious Child. Mm-hmm. Her performance was amazing. She's so funny. I loved her book. Like, I really admire her. I love when a comedian takes a dramatic turn.
What's the first song you remember all the words of?
Ooh. I mean, from the first CD I ever bought was Britney Spears.
There you go.
So it was Hit Me Baby One More Time.
That's it.
I know her book's about to come out. I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think? I mean, that is, it's this dramatic life of this.
It's crazy.
This Mickey Mouse star who just, again, has this power to just enrapture and sort of bring everybody. Her magnetism is so strong. And then there's this complicated side that makes us afraid for her, maybe. And you don't want anything to happen to her. What do you think?
I just think it's so scary to become that famous so young, and I don't know how anyone would deal with it. And unfortunately, the people who should have been there for her took advantage of her. So it's just heartbreaking, really. I want her to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all do.
Yeah.
We definitely do. And I hope that there's a happy ending.
I know.
I hope that there's, you know, people to protect her.
Yeah. That's scary.
But I think probably what she needs are fans to make her feel whole and sort of relevant and important. So what do you think? How do you picture yourself? I remember somebody asking me this, but how do you picture yourself at your mother's age?
Oh my gosh, amazing question. And my how old my mom is now?
How old is your mother now?
My mom is about to turn 60. And she's killing it. She's like, works full time, plays tennis every day. She's the queen, and she's an amazing mother and runs everyone's life.
And you have sisters and brothers?
I have two younger brothers, and we all live in the same building. Can you believe it?
I love that.
It's amazing.
That is so great.
I'm so close to them. Yeah, so I'd lived there for a few years, and then during the pandemic, you know, everyone left, and I was like, oh my God, let's snag these apartments. You guys got to come live with me. So that's the situation now. So we live in the same building. Sometimes my boyfriend gets mad because they'll like walk in without saying anything and be like, can I have some ketchup or whatever? But I'm like, this is my life. I accept it.
It's nice. Love that. I think it's that, lucky. That's great. So, and you at your mother's age, what will you be doing?
Well, I hope I'm still doing this. Honestly, I want to keep doing, I always want to be performing. It's my favorite thing. Making movies, TV shows, touring the world, just this but bigger. Yeah,
very cool,
right? That's why good. Not
what do you think about Madonna on the road again?
Amazing.
I have to say, now I remember going to the MTV Awards and Madonna was doing Like a Virgin on the floor, and like everybody was like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
And she just blew everybody away and just created this image and just totally rewrote what music videos were going to be, all of that. She wrote it. And then when she said she was going back on the road, I really, really, really wanted it to be great, and I got a little nervous. I think when she got sick, I got a little nervous, and I thought, oh my God, she's got to compete with Beyonce and Taylor Swift. What is that? But I'm seeing some pictures and hearing some songs. I love the way she looks. I love, it's a little raw. It's not quite as produced.
Yeah.
It's the, I think, Versace or Dolce, I can't remember who did the clothes. They look great. She is working it, and I feel so, I think she's 60 or something amazing. Like that, right? So I'm relating that because your image of yourself is on the road.
Why not?
And Madonna, I think, is doing it. And I think I'm so happy, and I hope that we get to see more and more of what she's doing. And she's in her own lane.
Totally.
And I think it's an important lane. She's not letting anybody down.
She invented it.
Yep. Yeah, so that's cool. I'm really thrilled about her. I also really love Miley Cyrus.
I was just, when you said the Like a Virgin thing, I'm picturing like how we react to Miley now.
That's
feels similar
exactly
to that.
That's exactly.
And her voice is like
magic.
Unreal.
She's
major. I love the I Can Buy Myself Flowers video.
Everything. I love when she wears my clothes.
I was going to say, wasn't she wearing the...
She's been...
She's
since
genius.
She was young. Yeah. I mean, she is just really talented. And I think also she's really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Really smart. So that's somebody that's going to be...
She's going to be around for a long time. She's very cool.
Completely different kind of... She's sort of in the Madonna lane. Mm-hmm. Where
reinventing
herself.
I'm doing
this authentic thing, and everybody can do theirs and fine. And she's doing it, but doing it so well.
Mm-hmm.
So her success was really exciting to see.
Yeah, love watching her thrive.
Who else do you think are your?
Who do I admire now? I'm trying to think. I'm like Miley, Taylor, I don't know.
What about somebody that's not famous, that's doing something?
I have lots of friends who I'm like, you're a genius.
And so?
My friend Meg Stalter is a comedian. I mean, she's getting famous. She is famous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just will never forget seeing her for the first time at Club Cumming, tiny room in New York. And I was like, who is that? Like, her brand of humor, I was like, I've never seen anything like this. I was so tickled. And she's like the kindest, most generous person in the world. So I love watching her star rocket.
Yeah.
She's a genius. Yeah, just like, she's so herself too. Like, no one can, people try to copy her, obviously, as everyone, you know, does, but it doesn't work. Yeah.
It's very hard. Original is original.
Yeah.
You can't, the second version of it is like taking a photo of a photo, like
exactly.
The degenerated version.
It's the AI.
Of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. So, who else that you think nobody knows that you know that are really extraordinary?
Well, I have to shout out my best friend who I do a podcast with, Pat Regan. He actually writes for the show that Meg is on, but he is the funniest person in the world, a singular voice. People try and rip it off. People try and copy him. The way he uses the English language doesn't even make sense, but it's so funny.
Right.
Like, when I first saw him perform years ago, I was like, we need to be best friends. And I made him be friends with me. And now here we are.
I do that too.
Right?
I literally, if I see somebody somewhere, I mean, there was this artist who did this neon art. And I saw it on YouTube and I kept seeing it in different places, but it wasn't like commercially, but I thought, I have to meet this person.
Amazing.
And I stalked them until I met them, and then I don't let them go. Then they have to be my friend forever. I did the same. There was a futurist that I had to meet. He was so brilliant. He wrote this book, Hacking Darwin. I thought, this is so good. He's so smart. Hunted him down.
He's part of your world now.
And it's funny how easy it is to meet the people that you decide you want to meet. I think more people should do that.
I love when someone's like reaches out randomly on Instagram. It's like, hey, I just love your stuff. Like, let's get a drink. I'm like, this is amazing. I've met a lot of good friends that way. You know who I love? Who I was just thinking of? You know, Chapel Roan.
Mm-mm.
She just had her first album come out. She's amazing musician. Great looks. So herself. I think you'd love her album. It's great.
That's good. That's good. We have to share all of that because people, and then I think there are people who do really good things, right? And they never get recognition because they don't sing, they're not funny, they don't design clothes, they don't do outward things, and they just do selfless, kind work and do it with love, and they're extraordinary. Do you know people like that?
I'm just thinking of like everyone who's a teacher. I'm like in awe. I'm in awe of people who devote their lives to being a teacher. It's incredible.
Yeah.
My aunt's an amazing teacher. She's beloved in Houston. She's beloved. Aunt Claire, shout out. Like when people find out that I'm her niece, like, oh my God.
Oh, really?
Like, oh my God, I love, like she changed my life. I love her. Yeah.
That really is an extraordinary experience, especially watching it and seeing the effect people have. I think also music teachers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, teachers, but then music teachers, there's another something else in music teachers. Do you play an instrument?
I play guitar. I had a great teacher, actually. I remember I would go to her like office in Houston after school, and she'd like heat me up a snack and teach me how to play. And I remember she was always like, don't just sing. She's like, play, you need to play something too. It's good. But I also had I do voiceover sometimes. And my voiceover coach was this woman, Marla Kerbin, who passed away 2 years ago. And she became like my New York grandma, like taught me everything I know. And she would be in her apartment in the West Village, teach people voiceover. And so at her funeral, it was like so many people she changed everything about their lives, opened their worlds up. Like she was the most amazing person.
Wow.
Yeah, she was everything.
Those people are really, really great. I remember my sixth grade teacher. And I remember we used to have autograph books. I don't know if that's still done, but
like signing a yearbook?
Well, no, you would have a book that people would write notes to you in that had a zipper on it, and you could and it had the year.
That sounds
so
nice.
And you save it, and then it's all these notes from people.
Oh, beautiful.
And your teachers. And I remember she, at sixth grade, she wrote Know Thyself. And I thought, what's that? I mean, there's no hearts. There's like, know thyself. And then I remembered, know thyself. And then one day I thought, I get it. And I never forgot her. Her name was Mrs. Kaplan. And she wrote, Know Thyself. I don't remember anything she taught me.
Right.
But I remember that page. I can tell you even the way it was written and the color of the page. It was like a blue-gray. And the impact, two words, really, really special. My music teacher, so I played clarinet and saxophone.
Amazing.
And I had the most gorgeous teacher who also played in a club. And I would go have my lessons before he went on, and it would like after school and like at 6 o'clock, and then he'd go on at 8 or 8:30. Oh. And this was because he was so gorgeous, I was committed to the saxophone and the clarinet.
Yeah, of course, that makes a big difference.
The inspiration, different kinds of inspiration than Mrs. Kaplan.
A crush can really change the world.
Totally.
Like if you feel that vibe, it's like, I'm alive. I will do anything.
Well, think about the amount of musicians who decide to be musicians because they're going to meet girls. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, yeah.
Think about that. That was like motivation, right? So, I mean, I think Ali Wong had a line, something about like all these guys that are comedians meet all these girls and then she gets these psycho.
Yes.
It's so good.
I remember that bit. It's so true. It's like I've maybe once in like 10 years I've had a guy like want to go out with me after a show, whereas like anytime there's like a cute guy on the show, all my friends are like, who's that?
Interesting, but, huh?
Very interesting.
Well, I do think humor is so sexy.
It's everything. That's what I mean about like FaceTiming with someone. It's like a picture, who cares?
Yeah.
It's like bring the vibes, right. Bring the energy, charm me.
And so do you go out with funny men?
My boyfriend's very funny.
Is he?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think when I first met him, I was very like, okay, like, what's your deal? And then, you know, over the years, I'm like, oh my God, you're so funny. Sometimes men who are very funny at first, I find, they just want attention and it's sort of, they're not really getting to know you because they're just trying, like, right. I'm just, it becomes exhausting if someone's always like performing for you.
Right.
That's different than being like a funny person.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm like remembering like dates where you're just like, whoa, and it makes you shrink because you're like, you're bringing a lot, dude.
I used to be very attracted to the ugliest comedians. I didn't care what they were funny and they made me laugh. And I remember I was with this guy and he was so gross. I don't know what, but I was going to Catch a Rising Star. This is in the 70s, all the time.
Amazing.
I was there all the time. If there's a place to laugh, I'm there, right? And so there was this one guy who I thought was not the funniest guy in the place for sure. And I don't even think his career went this far off the ground. But I would cry laughing. And he was so gross and disgusting looking and I don't know, not good habits to kind of just maintain.
I can picture, like, I'm like picturing the smell.
It's so disgusting.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, what? What is wrong with me?
No, it's like, so magnetic.
What is that? It was like totally, he had me totally captured. And I don't think he could believe that he had me totally captured. I could see he was questioning because I was sort of like cute and like, what am I doing with this guy? And then finally my friend said to me, you know, you are so screwed up. Like, what?
No.
And it's like, he's so funny.
I totally get it. And on the opposite, on the other side, it's like, if someone really hot goes up and they don't kill, it's like,
it's bad.
It is the ultimate turnoff. It's humiliating.
Yeah, it is bad.
I've seen some things.
But how much time do you think it takes for a comedian who really wants to do stand-up to, like, how many of those bad stand-ups have you seen people do, or how many have you had to experience?
Oh my God.
Where you know, I think next time I'm going to get it, or then you get it. Like, I'm sure it's different for everyone, but there must be some kind of lead time that you put in before you say, I can't do this another day unless I'm funny, and then you just get funny, because the pain of not being funny is...
I have no idea. I mean, I've seen some I've seen some really unfunny people become really successful. So I don't really know. I don't really know if I can talk on that. I mean, I will see things. I'm like, there is no way. There's no way that person's doing that. And I'm like, oh my God. So there's no rules. There's no rules. And you see very unfunny people, just very, very funny people, right. Just quit because they're like, this sucks. Like, I want to enjoy my life. So there's no rules. I mean, I feel like once you break the once you go on once, you're like, okay, I can do this. It's like that first time that you're like full body shaking.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done so many shows where it doesn't go over well, but I'm just like, well, they have bad taste.
But I think not everything I design is my favorite thing. There, it's
right.
Like, oh my God, I did that one more. Like, how did I do that? Did I really? Or somebody will show me something. Oh, I got this in the 80s from you. Like, oh,
that's so funny.
Okay.
Isn't that
how
with every
shoulder pads are in that dress?
It comes back around, I'm sure.
Well, you know, three shoulder pads may not come around again. But
we'll see.
But there are those things you just like it, you don't do it right. But by doing it, the next thing you do is so much higher and so much better, right?
Yeah, I put out like a collection of poems I wrote. I do like funny poems. And I remember when we were about to put the book to print, my publisher was like, let's include some of these. And I was like, oh, those are so old though. Like, I don't want to include them. They're not funny to me anymore. And she's like, I know, but it's part of the whole like journey of the book. Yeah. So even when the book came out, there were some that day that I was like, I don't like these, but they're in the book because they're part of like the evolution of what this has become.
Yeah.
I mean, most things I've done, I look back on and I'm like, ooh, what was that?
No, but I think then when you look back further on, you'll look at it and have better perspective. Because I will say that I look at some things and I think, whoa, oh my God, that is fucking great.
Yes.
I mean,
okay, cool.
And and you're so far away from it that you can appreciate what it was at the time in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time. And there are as many that you think, all right, learning experience. Right. And I think that never ends. I still have those highs and lows where I think, I really love this. I really love what I just did. And then maybe I do something else like, what? What is that? Like, I thought it was so great. And then the next day I come in to the sample room
God.
I think, what the hell was, what was I thinking? But you have to take the chance.
Yeah, high highs, low lows.
To be terrible. Otherwise, what's the point?
It's worth it.
What's your favorite podcast? Three favorites.
Favorite podcasts? I hate to say I listen to like a lot of true crime, which I'm trying to stop.
They're addictive.
They're addictive they're bad.
Yeah, they're addictive. You have to stop.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm okay. So I'm trying to lean more into like a conspiracy, like interesting stories that aren't necessarily like violent or anything. But yeah, those, I love like it all started with like the Serial thing. I became hooked on that model and I listened to like, and it's also nice because it takes my mind off comedy. Like every friend of mine has a podcast. So I'm like, I don't want to listen to my friends talk. Like,
right.
Whatever. It's actually a habit I'm trying to break. I'm trying to get more into audiobooks. What do you listen to?
I love audiobooks.
Yeah.
And for me, reading is really hard because a lot of the time I'm sketching.
Right.
And I'm doing things with my hands. But I love audiobooks. I love podcasts. I love storytelling. Mm-hmm. So I tend to like biographies.
I was going
to
say that's the best.
Right?
Yeah.
The people stories are
fascinating.
Like, how could you not?
Who are your favorites?
You know, a wide assortment, but I think some memorable experience. I was having like all kinds of dental work done, and it seems like it never ends because now I'm having dental work.
Oh,
and
God,
again.
I'm
so
sorry.
My lip is swollen, so I did not have Botox in my lip, but it's like dental work gives me angst. And so while I'm doing the dental work, I'm listening to audiobooks, and I listened to a whole series of books on Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why.
I get it.
Never. I would never flip through a book on Abraham Lincoln, ever. Why would I do that? It's like, how is that in context with? But because it was an audio book, I gave myself a chance to go into a world that I would never go into. And it was really important because I did not know, even though I was a pretty good student, I did not know the intimate workings of this man's mind, who is a part of the history of the world we're in today.
Totally.
How is that really affecting us? What is that? So stories about people I never in a million years would have. So I like the adventure of audiobooks because I can do other things. I'm a bit of a multitasker.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to be able to do other things and hear stories. So what audiobooks are your favorites?
Yeah, I loved like the Tina Brown Vanity Fair Diaries. It was such a good listen.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so juicy. It makes me like
yeah.
a New York that I never got to be a part of.
That's,
that I like, you know, sounds so exciting. That was a fun one. And then, yeah, similar to what you were saying, that podcast American Scandal, it has like a bunch of seasons now, but it tackles like, you know, these historical moments that like I've heard about in school and like one line, but I'm like, oh, this is actually fascinating and I never knew this.
So, I think, you know, I really feel like social media minimizes education, right? Mm-hmm. It gives us, it's sort of a shortcut to learning everything and, you know, access to information, even AI information, stops the kind of flow of information that feeds us energy and information about creativity, about hopes and dreams, about possibilities. And I think having as many examples of that in different forms is, it's like fruit for us. It's like fills us with inspiration and hopes and dreams. And not having that is really, I think, unhealthy. And I feel that there's like people are starving for more, for more information, but we're soundbiting our way through whatever is going on. And I writing, just, like you write poems, you write comedy, you write, that's part of that process too, feeding in and giving out.
Oh yeah, you have to, like if you're not reading, you can't be writing. It's like, it's a complete back and forth. I just took Instagram and TikTok off my phone because I'm like, this is, the way this is making my brain absorb information like is ruining my life. So I'll like download them to post sometimes, but I'm like, okay, instead, why don't you look at this, like read this long form article instead, like try and slow down. Cause it's scary. Like I used to read all the time in school. Now it's like,
no, I think your instincts are right. I'm reluctant about social media. I obviously you have to do it.
Yeah.
And I have to do it. And I used to do more personal things. Like I love to work out. So I used to do all different kinds of workouts and other things, you know, make sweet potato ice cream and stuff
That's good.
But I had to step back because I just felt something wasn't right. Like something wasn't right. I feel much better about this new format we're in, where it's bringing people to us. We don't have a store anymore, so people can come to us and share this experience and other experiences.
Amazing.
But it's different from, you know, taking picture of food and doing these things, something has taken us down to missing the experience.
Oh, yeah. I even feel like I'll get so worked up because I see pictures of my, like so many of my friends have moved to LA and I'll start crying because I'll see pictures of my friends at parties and I'm like, I'm missing everything. And then I talk to them and they're like, that wasn't fun at all. Like that's just a picture you saw of us looking good because that's our job. And I'm like, I know. I'm like, where are people actually having fun? Like, where do people go to dance? Yeah. Like, where are people with that when they're not capturing, even going like a night out anymore isn't really fun because it's about proving that you were doing it, not that you were not doing it.
And you're right. Where do people go to the dance? I mean, I think dancing is like, how can you get better than dancing?
I know. Where are the spots? I'm like, where do people go?
Well, I'm getting married.
Congratulations.
And my friend Ian Traeger, who
legend
is, introduced me to my guy.
Oh, really?
And he is throwing a dance party for us.
That's amazing.
So you might have to come.
Don't threaten me with a good time. I will dance it out in my built-in bodysuit. I will be spreading and swaying.
I can't tell you how much I love dancing. I love it so much.
Yeah.
And I always have. And I think dancing, if you look at people dancing and you look at the expression on their faces, even the funny ones that they make because they think they look cool or whatever they do, it's the freest, best thing you can see or experience with another human being, right? It's totally free and magic, right?
Do you know Angela Trimber? She's a dancer, choreographer, actor. She's a friend of mine, and she started like doing these dance classes all over the city just for whoever wants them, and just like encouraging people of all levels to dance. And it looks like the most fun thing in the world. I need to go to one of her classes. I watch, like, she posts videos of it, and I'm like, people look so free. And people still want to do it. It's happening. Yeah, I agree. It's like, usually when you go out, I'm like, we're just standing here.
Well, it used to be that you could go out every night dancing, basically. There were times in the last 50 years, for sure, where dancing was such an important part. The way we go out to dinner now, it would be, we're going out dancing and we'll get something to eat before we go. It wasn't, we're going to go to dinner. I remember when this we're going to go to dinner thing happened. Like,
yeah, when did that start?
And then what? Like,
and then go home, watch TV, and be so depressed. Right? Like, that's my life.
I was like, what is that? That can't be. But I think if there were more places where you could just dance, I think, like, this space is crying out.
I was going to say, do you throw parties here? You must.
Not yet.
We're
new here. We're doing.
Let's make it happen.
But I do, I think gyms should have at night, at 9:30, should turn into dance places. That's my theory.
That's genius.
And they could charge. Just charge us.
I know. I've taken a few like dance fitness classes, which are really fun. What's that?
No, but just dancing.
I know.
Like, just play the music. We don't need trainers. We'll just dance, and water is fine. We'll take care of the rest. Just get the water, and we're good.
I think that's a great idea.
I think that we
let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. This space, my God, it's like you walk in, it's New York of dreams.
Well, you're welcome to use it in any way you
want. I'll come dance by myself. You'll walk in tomorrow. I'm like,
all the six cameras.
I know the cameras are a lot. I was, didn't know this was a full body experience, but we're making it work.
So tell me when's your birthday?
August 11th. When's yours?
June 27th.
So are you a Cancer?
I am, and you're a Leo.
Leo, and my whole family's water signs, except me.
Are they really? Mm-hmm. Your mom?
Scorpio.
And dad?
Cancer.
Oh, and I bet he's funny.
So funny. Both my parents are very funny. My dad's my best friend.
Cancer men are very funny.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's your moon and rising?
I have a Pisces rising.
Me too. That's rare.
And an Aquarius moon.
Oh, that's fun.
What's your moon?
Virgo.
Wow, that's a nice combination.
It's intense. Yeah. But I heard Pisces rising is very rare.
Well,
look at us.
We happen to be. I'm so for the year ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh.
What's your so we can reconnect and see what is your agenda, plan, purpose? What is it you would like?
I really
next year.
Honestly, the main thing is one of the only things I can control, which is just writing a lot, which includes reading a lot. But the more I make things without thinking about where they're going to go or how they're going to be received, that's when I'm happiest. So that really is the goal, because I'm still fairly new to this business, but the past few years have taught me anything. It's that you can't control anything except what you make. And if what you make is good, it'll be undeniable and it'll happen for you. So I'm like writing, reading, and being around people I love.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's great. I think what I'm happy about is that I'm going to have this tape of you before you become this hugely famous, extraordinary
I'm ready.
Performer.
It's hard out there.
It's got to be. I know. Who's going to make it easy for you?
I know. Why else would we want it if it wasn't hard?
Seriously.
When did you feel like you were like, I've made it?
Not yet.
Oh, please. Please. Come on.
What happens is, especially if you plan to be doing this at 60, your evolution is going to keep changing, and your next step version of yourself will be another new experience, right? So you'll be at day one all over again. And as nervous. I'm always, every time I do something new, I'm as nervous as I was at the beginning. I never did this before. What am I doing? Can I do it? I'm going to do it. Okay. And so as you evolve and change, you're not going to keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You're going to want to do something new. So you never actually ever feel like you made it because you're always right. experimenting with the next possibility.
Being nervous is such a good feeling.
Well, if you're not.
Then it's so boring.
Like, what are you doing?
Where were you at 32? What was your life like?
So at 32 or around this time, mm-hmm. I got married at 19.
Oh, my God.
Because I wanted to get out of the house because my mother was menopausal. I'm not kidding. I can't not another day.
Wow.
So this DJ, the first DJ in New York City, by the way,
okay,
was a friend of mine, and he was playing for the first time in a club that was the first club with
amazing.
Recorded music. And he said, we have dance contests. And there's a guy here, I think, because I was dancing, of course, all the time. I think if you dance with him, the two of you could win the money. It's $500. We won. Next night, we won again. The next week, we won again. We got married.
Amazing.
Right? Logical next steps, right? So we were both 19.
Crazy.
And we ended up. He was going to school, and I opened this business.
Wow.
And so we had it together. 10 years later, we looked at each other. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And so I was 29. He was controlling.
Oof.
And I had $98 to my name. That's how controlling he was.
Crazy.
And I left him.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
What I had. So that's where I was.
That's intense.
Yeah. So it was one of my big crossroads periods.
Saturn return.
Total. And I was going to say, if you believe in anything about Saturn return, that was my Saturn return. And that was the best thing that happened to
wow.
me. Because if I would have stayed, the path would have been completely different. But I left.
Thank
not
God.
Knowing about anything I could do. And I've owned my own business since then.
Wow.
I didn't know I could run a business. I didn't know I could do this.
Look at you.
So we need all of these Saturn returns to give us a good,
yeah,
painful experience.
I feel like mine isn't ending. It's been going for a while. I literally am like, it's been going.
It takes, it's not, okay, it's not okay. An overnight.
It's been going for a few,
it's not,
for a while.
Yeah, it's not an overnight thing.
It's happening. I'm coming out the other side.
You are.
Yeah.
It took me, it's soon. It's going to be soon for you.
Yeah, it's been good.
But Saturn return, this is your first Saturn return. So your first Saturn return is the shocker because you don't, this is what life is. And then you have a second one.
Yeah. But,
and it's hard. It's really hard. But because you already experienced one,
yeah,
you have a little bit of like, okay, it's not going to last forever. It's a different kind of pain I can deal. And then the one after that, painful, painful, but I've been through two already.
It's like a breakup, I guess.
It's a little bit more.
I feel like the conversation I'm having with all my friends now is we're like, okay, we're like, are we in a bad patch or is this life? Like, life is really, really hard and we have just been really lucky thus far.
It's true.
Yeah.
That is, in fact, the truth.
Lately, I'm like, oh my God, no. I'm like one thing at a time.
But this is basic training. You
yeah.
need this before you're, you know, before you're famous.
Oh.
You need to get
right within
and like be ready to be fortified.
I need to come to one of your workouts.
Welcome to come. First of all,
yeah.
You can live stream at 12 o'clock
okay.
on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays.
Oh, great.
And so just come to our website.
Perfect.
And live stream, or you're more than welcome, you're a walk away, to come here at 12 o'clock. And this room is filled with mats.
So
and we
great.
We have trainers come in, and it's amazing.
That's so...
It's the best workout. And after 8 workouts, you feel so strong.
8, that's good to know.
It's 8.
Yeah, because it's obviously... I've had periods where I feel strong. It's so easy to get off and on. And
no, but once you get to the 8, you don't stop then because you're,
I love
like
that.
You're feeling so strong. In
I
your
just
want to,
yeah, I want to feel strong.
And it affects your mind too.
That's definitely true. So I'm big on my steps. That's
and
why.
And do you have a ring? Do you have your.
Well, this is hideous. I'm humiliated that we're on camera, that I'm wearing this in your studio. I literally was like, as I was walking here, I was like, take this off before you meet Norma Kamali. But I'm obsessed with, yeah, it's all I think about. I'm like, I got to walk every day. I'm like, where can I go? Where
but
can I go?
That's great. That's great.
And we listen to the pods.
How many,
yeah.
How many steps?
Well, at least 10,000. at least 10 steps. But on days when you hit like 15, 20, then you're like, I'm a god.
I know. I do all this effort. I work out every day.
Amazing.
But then I'm like, I have to do my 10,000. I have to do my 10,000.
Do you work out first thing in the morning or is it noon every day?
So we work out at noon. And according to Chinese medicine, actually the afternoon is the best time to work out. So I've always worked out like after 4 o'clock, between 4 and 6.
I prefer that also because I like to get up and be able to put on real clothes.
But your instinct is right because that morning energy is for other things.
It's for this.
Yes.
Do you think?
Absolutely.
And what's your nighttime routine?
For working out or for...
No, just like how do you wind down? Like what are your evenings like?
So I'm... My day is very early.
Yeah.
Especially when I have collections, like I'm in here at 6 o'clock.
I'm laughing because this is my first thing of the day. It's like 4. Okay.
Very, very important.
Yeah.
And then I am busy throughout the day. Sometimes I'll do 15,000 steps, just doing patterns, walking around, and I'm killing myself to walk 10,000 steps. Right. Like doing all that. And then when I'm just doing patterns, walking around, fitting, bending down, doing up, I'm doing 15,000 steps. And I think, oh, my God, what am I doing here? Like, this
it
is
must
so
feel so good.
Like, but it's gratifying and you're achieving something. And then I try to eat one meal a day now. I'm trying to, for longevity.
Okay, is that good?
It's a really good thing to
what
do.
What time-ish?
So it could be during the week, maybe 6, or weekends 4 o'clock, because my guy and I both are doing this.
Okay.
So by 4
that makes
o'clock,
it that makes it easier.
We can eat the refrigerator because we're hungry. But,
sure.
But and then I can be busy about anything. Like you can sit down and write. I can come up with ideas and sketch. And
it never stops.
Yeah. And I love good movies. Mm-hmm. I love a good series.
What are you watching now?
I just watched The Split. It's
what
British.
Is that? Oh, I don't know it.
It's a family of female lawyers.
Okay.
Divorce lawyers. And the stories are really good.
That sounds amazing.
And their stories are really good.
Okay, fab.
And the Brits are so good.
I was going to say, those are the best series.
Totally.
I'm a big Sharon Horgan fan. Anything she makes. She did Catastrophe. Have you seen that?
Oh, no. I've seen it advertised, though. I didn't see it.
Such an amazing series. Funny and heartwarming.
I'll check it out.
And there's another one about she's Irish. And there's one about her and her Irish sisters. What's it called? I'll send it to you. But anything she touches is an amazing series.
I mean, I love British series. Mm-hmm. I love Australian series.
I'm about to go for the first time to Australia.
Are you really?
I'm doing a tour.
Oh, great.
I'm excited.
Well, where are you going?
Melbourne, Sydney, and Auckland.
I have relatives.
You got to send them.
They will come
see
you. You have to give me all the info.
I will.
And they are, first of all, the Australians are crazy.
Oh, good.
And my family, I know they get really upset when I say this, are crazier. They just are. Their humor, they just effuse, and they are like, in it. They're okay, amazing. Not, there's nothing laid back and sort of chill. They are.
I can relate to that. Okay, so, we got to get them at the show then.
Yeah, so I will tell them, and we have a big family.
I love it.
So
me too. That's the best.
So they will represent both in Sydney and in Melbourne.
Oh, great. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, I'm
so
looking forward.
So when is that?
November.
Wow.
I know. I'm leaving at the end of the month.
And it's crazy. Summer there.
Yes. Ah. I know. Like, you know when you like don't remember where you're like, oh, I'm going really soon, actually.
Yeah. And, yeah. And it's actually great weather.
I'm very excited.
Very nice. Well, I'm happy for you. I think
I'm excited.
They're like, it's a good fan.
There's a great comedy scene there. Yeah.
Totally.
It'll be good.
Totally. Oh, that's good. And yeah. Are you on the road a lot or are you starting to do
that? I've done a ton of stuff in the UK. That's where I'm like, I've mostly toured because I do like the festival in Edinburgh, which is my favorite.
I love Edinburgh.
Isn't it?
Oh my God.
The best
God.
In the world. That's my vibe.
Your
my
next
vibe.
One is Manchester. You have to go to Manchester.
I did go to Manchester. Yeah, I did a show in Manchester last winter. It was so fun.
Manchester, the people.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Oh, I only got to spend a few hours.
First of all, before they leave the house, they're thinking about the joke they're going to tell you when they see you. That's Manchurians.
Amazing.
That's how they are. They are so fantastic, and they all sound like the Beatles.
Yeah.
They all have that accent.
It's the best.
And it is the happiest, funniest place. I have a friend who's an astrologer that sends
wow.
me to different places on my birthday for a good birthday chart.
Oh,
so
my God. That's
she
amazing.
She sent me to this town in northern England that was the most depressing place, and I just said to my guy, listen, we are so close to Manchester. I just want you to take me to a pub in Manchester
yes.
now so we can talk to total strangers and laugh our asses off until, like, we fall asleep.
That's the best.
And it was.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. Didn't know them. We'll never see those people again.
Perfect.
Laughed and laughed, and that's Manchester.
Oh, yeah, I feel so at home over there. I love it.
It's just, and Edinburgh is great too. Except
it's magic.
I can't understand half of the things.
I know, but I'm into it. I'm
just
like, uh huh.
So
yeah, I'm like, go ahead.
And yeah. What kills me is in Edinburgh and in Manchester, it's so freaking cold.
Mm.
And the girls are literally like short shirts, nothing on their legs.
Of course.
Thin leather jackets that don't really zip because they're little, like, low t-shirt and skinny, like, nothing
right.
to it. It's freezing. I have, like, two sleeping bag coats on, and they look and I think, what? I mean, a scotch? Is it the alcohol? What is
it's
it?
It's the combo. Do you watch Love Island?
No.
It's an important part of my life. But
is it?
It's just, it's crazy. I mean, it's absolute garbage. Like, you don't need to involve yourself with it, but it's opened up my world to that culture.
Well, whatever is going on in Edinburgh and in Manchester, it's a good thing.
It's working.
And just there's such a great young energy.
Yeah.
And it's so, so fantastic.
And they really care about live performance. Like,
oh, yeah.
The crowds there are just so good.
They're the biggest fans. They're
yeah.
really,
it's
really,
been,
really
it's
cool.
been so fun. I'm going to do a U.S. tour early next year. But it'll be my first time doing a lot of cities, so I'll be curious what the vibes are. We'll see.
I think you'll be great.
It'll be great. I love Chicago, yeah. LA. Like, those are obviously super fun. We'll see.
But I just think people are craving people like you.
Mm.
I mean, they just really, you don't want anybody lying to you. You don't want anybody trying to fool you. You just
I
want
know.
People who are real and funny and kind and just not doing anything but trying to make you feel good, you know? And that's what you do. Thank
Likewise.
You.
I'm so happy. I like, I'm like, this is such, this is such a dream. I'm so honored you have me on.
I'm so happy you came. I thought, I would love to get a comedian on. And then I see you on Instagram. I guess it was Instagram.
Well, I always like to tag like the designers I wear because it's like part of the thing.
And so we have this thing, NK My Way. So all of these people who look gorgeous in my clothes, I mean, the way they photograph themselves, the way they style, it's like, and I get to see the diverse group of women who wear my clothes. It is the best thing. Best thing. If I want to feel good and I just look at these women and I think, oh my God, I'm so fucking lucky. Well, they look so good. And then I see you and I said, who is this? What? And I'm like, what? Oh my God. She's so funny. And then I said, I was telling all the girls, I said, I really want to get a comedian on. They said, what about Kat? I said, oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I have to say thank you because, like, your clothes really are for everyone, and that's so rare to have, like, that high glamour, like, sex that's, like, available for so many different types of people. That's, like, really hard to find.
It's amazing how if you saw my customer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have women your age that know nothing about my history. Nothing. They only know me now in what I'm doing now. Have no clue about a previous life. And so I can go to a wedding, and which there seem to be 10,000 of, and there's a whole group your age.
Yep.
And they all know me, and they're all like, you're Norma Kamali, right? And they're talking to me. And then their mothers and their these women my age are saying, are you still in business,
that
honey?
That is crazy.
How's it going? Are you still working? And I think, I was just over there.
Like they're all wearing my dresses, and the one shoulder.
It's like,
come on.
I was just there, and then here. So it's really, it's a little cuckoo.
That's cool.
I'm like having this, you know, strange thing. But all of those women, like from my age group, to your age group and younger, have been wearing my clothes. And to see that is like so
cool.
And now to see the range of women. And just
it's amazing.
Like you couldn't pick a better selection. I mean, I'm like, this is the best thing. I feel shitty today, but not anymore.
Oh.
These women make me smile and feel good. So,
well, right back
and
at you.
So for you, you have to keep making people smile and feel
I will.
Good. And I can't wait to see your rise. And we'll send you an invitation to the wedding
can
dance.
Don't tease me, I'm there. And I'm going to have meet your family in Australia.
Yes.
So we have big plans.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to, and believe me, they'll
I'll know when it's them. Okay.